RadioInfluence.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report Podcast. It is May the 16th, 2021, and I've got four interviews here for you in this edition of the show. You're going to hear from two men that are going to be a part of XFC 44. You hear from a fighter who's got a fight coming up here next month in my home state of Florida. And you'll hear from a former UFC fighter that picked up a win on the regional scene. Up first, you'll hear my conversation with Kurt Hallebaut, who is going to be in the lightweight semifinal at XFC 44, taking on Jose Verdugo. As I had a chance to catch up with Kurt to talk to him about what has been going on since he won in the opening round of this tournament, also his preparations for this matchup, which did include a fight change, as of course initially had another opponent, now on to Jose. So you hear that conversation with Kurt Hallebaut. Then you're going to hear my conversation with Chance Ringcounter, who's coming off a first round submission victory at FAC 8 in the main event of that fight card, scoring a submission with 2 seconds to go in the opening round against Cliff Wright. Cliff Wright was not the original opponent. He was actually supposed to have a rematch against Jake Lindsey. So talk to Chance about that victory and what may be next for him. Then you're going to hear from Jeff Peterson, who's going to be making his return to competition here on June the 5th at Combat Night in Jacksonville, Florida. Is he going to be taking on Preston Parson? I talked to Jeff about what has been going on with him, the matchup, and so much more. And then the final conversation will be with Brett Martin, who now has a new opponent for XFC 44. He will now take on Marino Eatman. He was scheduled to take on Chris Barnett. And I will tell you, the interview was done when he was supposed to fight Chris. I did edit the interview where we did talk about Chris in that one, but Chris now stepping up on short notice to take a fight in the UFC. So Brett spoke to an XFC official here before doing the show and let me know that they do have a new opponent for Brett Martin, is Marino Eatman. So all those interviews come up here on this edition of the MMA Report Podcast. Of course, as always, great way to show your support for the show is by leaving a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform. Maybe that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever you do listen to your podcast. Of course, also, you can check out all the sponsors of the MMA Report Podcast. All you gotta do is go over to the MMAreport.com. So let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're gonna hear my conversation with Kurt Hallebaut, who's gonna be a part of the XFC lightweight semifinal on May the 28th at XFC 44. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man we've had on the show in the past, and he is back inside competition here. XFC 44, May the 28th, the semifinals of the lightweight tournament. Kurt, as always, man, I appreciate the time. I was thinking about this right before we were connecting here, and I was thinking about tournaments. For you as a fighter, what do you love the most about the tournament? Is it just the mentality of, I know the path?
Yeah, you know, it's basically just that. And The cool thing is, you know, if you get the win, you advance on. Like, it's very good to have that next date set to where you already know and the next opponent set to where you already know. Unfortunately, in my case, you know, there's a few speed bumps. You know, the date got pushed back and my opponent changed. But still, the whole time I knew, hey, I knew I'm already gearing up for this fight. I know I'm in the XFC semifinals in the lightweight tournament. So I know what I'm in the gym. I know what I'm training for. You know, I got a little motivation behind it. So I think that helps out.
When you go from Hudson to Verdugo, did that change anything in terms of your preparations?
Not really, you know, and I like this matchup a little bit better. I don't think he's as big as Scott Hudson. I felt that was the only thing that really Scott Hudson had on me was a little bit of size, maybe. It doesn't matter to me. I like this matchup. I like the Hudson matchup. You know, hopefully he's okay and we make him run that back sometime down the future. But like I said, I like this matchup and we'll see what happens.
Is there something in particular about the matchup? I mean, you mentioned about he's not as big as Scott Hudson in terms of, you know, physical size, but is there something else about the matchup? Is it just like, or is it a mindset of like, man, I just, stylistically, this just is what I want?
Yeah, I think it's just stylistically. I think it's a good matchup. You know, I feel there's a lot of similarities with our striking, mm-hmm. the way we both the way we both strike, the way we both stand. I do think I'm going to have a bit of a wrestling advantage and definitely a Brazilian jiu-jitsu advantage. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think I got a few openings right there if I want to try to capitalize on one of those. But I think it's going to be an exciting fight. I think the way he comes out is similar to the way I come out. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
I was on your Instagram, and you're not a guy who posts a ton. You're not the typical fire that posts every day. So always when you do post something, it kind of sticks out to me. And like one of the posts you had was you're getting some work in the gi, which kind of made me wonder when you're, you know, a couple weeks out from the fight, how much gi jiu-jitsu are you actually doing?
I don't stop. I don't stop my original gi training. You know, I probably train in the gi 2 to 3 times a week. And if like training for a fight, if I'm going to do some other stuff, I'll do gi and then I'll do some mitt work or some striking work right afterwards. I love training in the gi. I've been training in the gi for 12 to 14 years now, and I like the workout. I like training with a huge, heavy, soaking wet blanket on you. So hard to move, man. Guys put you down. It's hard to move. So when I'm out there in the cage, you know, we're slippery. It's easy to get up. I'm very hard to hold down with no gi on. So I think that just comes from training a lot of gi and trying to get up from the bottom when you really can't. So
as you think about all your years being a jiu-jitsu practitioner, what do you see as the biggest difference in your skill set right now as opposed to maybe even a year ago in terms of the grappling?
Just being really slick. Like I said, training the gi, that helps you get out from under these guys. And, you know, I have a couple losses on my record where I fought good wrestlers, but I never let these wrestlers hold me down for the entire round. I've always been able to get back up. Now, they may take me right back down, but they can't hold me there, and they can't do a lot of damage because I keep getting up and getting up and getting up. So I think it's just made me really slick. And I think now as I'm entering more into, you know, I would say my prime, and as much as jiu-jitsu as I've been training, I think it's going to help out. And I think I can definitely pull off some slick submissions.
Do you like to get involved in grappling competitions?
You know, not yet. I do. I got my fiance. She competes a lot. My kids are constantly competing. So I'm always at grappling competitions. But for me right now, I'm still so much involved in fighting that it really, the competition don't really do nothing for me right now. It doesn't get me going. So I want to, and I plan to start grappling probably here in the next year. I'm going to start doing some of the big IBJJF events. Me and my fiance, we are planning to do a couple of them together, you know, and see if I can come away with some gold and, you know, maybe do a world championship grappling competition one day.
Now, is she your best training partner when it comes to jiu-jitsu? I mean, is there sometimes some trash talk that goes on in the home at that night like, hey, I got you today?
Yeah, we're constantly going at it, man, and she always wants a round at the end of class. So she's very tough, and she's always trying to beat me up.
Is it that competitive spirit that gets you going every day? Like, I can't let her tap me out because I know I'm going to hear about this later tonight if this happens.
Yeah, for sure, and we're both competitors. You know, she's a college athlete. She played softball in college, and, you know, and me being – the MMA guy and jiu-jitsu guy for as long as I've been, we're two competitive people. And every time we grapple, like I don't baby her. We go pretty hard sometimes.
I also, you know, speaking of Instagram, I saw one of the videos you put out there with a little music to it was your morning shake for breakfast. So what's the morning shake consist of for you?
You know, I got one of my local sponsors here, Franktown Nutrition. They're supplying me with, you know, everything I need to help keep my body in shape and to stay right. And basically I'm using 2 scoops of their protein, the Herbalife protein. Mm-hmm. I think I had chocolate maybe that morning, and I throw a banana in it, and I put a little bit of Glutamac in it, you know, to help recover my muscles, and with some ice and blend that up, man, it really tastes a lot like a Smoothie King shake, just probably a more healthy.
I'm going to say, yeah, probably more healthy is probably a good way to put it. I remember a couple of years ago, I went and took a smoothie shake, like, cause I just got some dental work in. They're like, hey, you know, smoothie's great. And then I'm going there and I'm like, there's no way this thing's healthy. There's no way it's healthy.
Yeah, man. They put so much syrup and sugar and stuff in there. it's not healthy at all. But the one I'm doing, you know, I'm not adding anything. The only sugars in there is the natural sugar from the banana. Yeah. So it's pretty good. And, man, I've been on those smoothies sometimes twice a day, sometimes in the morning and sometimes at night with whatever dinner I'm eating. And, you know, I feel good. I don't have a ton of weight to cut. That's one of the beauty parts about fighting at 155 pounds for me. I can just put a lot of focus into the training, and I don't have to put all that focus into cutting weight or a strict diet. You know, I do diet, and I have been dieting for 2 or 3 weeks now, and I feel like I'm lean and mean, man. I feel like I'm slim, and I can make weight tomorrow if I had to.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned about, you know, taking care of your body. Is that just something as you've developed as a martial artist, just realizing, like, you know, I've talked to, you know, several fighters, they get, you know, with a strength conditioning coach, and like, look, don't feel like you got to, you know, let's not, you know, go 3 workouts a day if your body can't produce that. Is that something just as you've just kind of figured out what's best for your body?
Yeah, you know, everybody's different. Sometimes I look at some of these guys and they're training 2 or 3 times a day. And if I trained 2 or 3 times a day the way I trained, I would probably tear my body apart, you know. It's good to do some light stuff, but I don't think you can really fully hard go all out training 3 times a day. And anybody that's doing that, I give them props because I know how hard it is to do. So basically, you know, I'm training probably 2 times a day as of right now. But, you know, my morning training consists of a little more of a lot of running, maybe some, a lot of jump rope, some bag work, some stuff like that. If I can get one of my coaches to come in and hold some pads, I might do some pads in the morning. And then, you know, my night training session is a little more live sparring, live grappling, and things like that.
Of course, you're one of the semifinals here, and I know obviously you're just thinking about your opponent here, but have you looked at the other side of the bracket here of potentially who you could face in the final, whether it's Tom or DeMonte?
Yeah, I peek here every now and then, but like you said, I can't look past this guy. I got a tough task in front of me, and that's first things first. And then, you know, after that, you know, we'll see who's going to be next out of those guys. I don't know the DeMonte guy too well. I did get to see Tom O'Connor's fight at the last show. And, you know, I thought he fought one of the more seasoned guys. I thought he fought like maybe the black horse in that division who I actually thought was going to probably be in the finals because of his size, his skill. He's been around for a long time in Caceres, but, Tom O'Connor got it done, man. So, you know, he's a tough guy. And, if I had to pick somebody, I think I'd pick him to face in the finals.
And, of course, we'll see your fight here May 28th, XFC 44. Kurt, as always, man, I appreciate time. Of course, let everyone know you can find me on social media and, of course, those sponsors that are helping you out, man.
Yeah, you know, you can find me on Instagram, k.hollabaugh. Same thing on Facebook, Kurt Hollabaugh. And, yeah, my sponsors, I got some great sponsors for this fight, K-Ray Construction, Covington Power Sports, as I mentioned, Franktown Nutrition, Creole Tomato, Black & Brew. You know, I have a lot of those guys that just been with me for a long time, and they are continuing this journey with me.
And that was my conversation with Kurt Hollabaugh. I appreciate him coming on the show to talk about his upcoming matchup here in the lightweight semifinal at XFC 44 and hear him talking about what's kind of been going on with him. And, of course, part of this is the opponent change that did happen with him. Up next, you're going to hear from a man who scored a first-round submission victory, FAC-8, and that is Chance Reencounter. Of course, we saw him in the UFC getting back inside competition, so I spoke to him about the victory there at FAC-8 and what be next for him. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who scored a submission victory right at the end of the first round main event of FAC number 8. Chance, appreciate the time. Congratulations on the victory. Domination, is that a word you would use to describe your performance?
Yeah, I would say it was pretty clean off the whistle. I don't think I ever got touched at all. So, I mean, I wanted to look definitely dominated and wanted to get the finish, and I just doing my best to get both of those. And sometimes you can't get everything you want.
Was the game plan to get the fight straight to the ground, or was it something else?
Originally, no. It was just kind of, we're going to kind of play it where it was going. We thought I was better in all aspects of the game, so we were just going to let the fight kind of dictate where it wanted to go, and then we're just going to play from there and have some fun that night. And ended up going to the ground. He actually came into me pretty quick, was I was surprised about, but he came into me and I was able to get the takedown and secure the victory from there.
I know going back and watching the fight, Sean Wheelock had mentioned on the broadcast that Cliff had told them the one thing that he did not want in this fight was to end up on his back. Was that a thought process you had leading into this one?
We knew my wrestling was going to be superior than his. So as far as, you know, if it went to the ground, we know I'd have that, but I didn't necessarily want to go there. Unless, you know, the fight ended up there. I wasn't going to try to overthink it and try to do this and do that. I was wanting to just, you know, James talked me through it. And, you know, we had more of a game plan for Jake. But for the short notice, you know, opponent, it wasn't much to do. And we didn't want to over-navigate it. So, yeah, if it got to the wrestling, then we didn't think he was going to stand up and we were going to be able to finish him down there. But we were just trying to see where it was going to go that night.
Pretty much at the 10-second clapper is right when you get onto his back and lock in the RNC to finish it. Were in the moment, were you aware of, I've only got 10 seconds to finish this thing?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I heard it, and then I just got his neck about the same. It was a little bit after that, but, I mean, I knew it was within seconds. I didn't honestly think. I thought he was going to be able to last, but, man, I put the little squeeze on it as hard as I could because I knew we were within seconds because I did hear it. So I knew it was going to be close. So I'm glad we got out of that round.
You mentioned about the change in opponent from Jake Lindsey to Cliff. And of course you and Jake had fought previously in Bellator, a win that you got there. Is that a rematch that you're hoping gets booked again? Or is it one of those situations of like, if it happens, it gets offered, great. If not, I'm not chasing it.
I'm not going to chase anything right now. Like, I still got to talk to my coach and talk to James and see my manager and see what they want to do. You know, if we need to get another win, then I mean, I'm sure the fight's there. I'm just going to try to be patient right now. And if, you know, being active is probably the best thing. I think I kind of want to be active, honestly. So hopefully I can turn around and get another fight here pretty quick is what I'm hoping for. But, you know, I obviously want to get back in the UFC or, you know, a multi-fight contract somewhere is really what I'm looking for. You know, it doesn't have to be a certain promotion. Just I feel like I belong in the top top tier of the athletes around here. And I mean, for me not to getting paid decent money fighting is it's kind of hard for me to think about right now. So we gotta think about that right now.
You mentioned about the layoff you had heading into this one. What did you miss the most about fight night?
Man, what was neat was being there. And, I mean, this doesn't happen too many fight nights, so this is it's kind of a different feeling. But what I guess I could appreciate about that fight night was all the team was – Glory was pretty much on the card. So pretty much the whole team was back there in the locker room. Everybody was pumping each other up. It was pretty neat experience, you know, to have kind of like the, you know, usually when I'm fighting, I'm out in New York by myself and don't know anybody, just me and my coaches. So it was fun to have like the team camaraderie around there and everybody cheering everybody on, everybody excited for people coming in with the wins and things of that nature. So it was a pretty neat moment to be back there and be on the, you know, a show where so many teammates could be on the same card. It was a fun time back there in the back.
Obviously it was a long time because you were the last teammate to walk out there being in the main event. Yeah. So like, was there a point of the night, like you seen all your teammates come back, celebrate, and you're like, okay, can I go out there and fight now?
Right. Yeah, no, that's it. And I mean, it's been a while since I've been in the main event too. So that was one of the things I was like, man, I kind of don't miss this. I don't get to fight till 11 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. I fought at midnight before. So it was kind of nice it was cool to, you know, be the last fight, the main event again, and, you know, kind of be the featured fight of the card and get that kind of notoriety. And then it was also nice to, it would have been nice to be out of there early, but it was fun to sit back there and watch all the, cause I mean, they're younger guys than me, most of those guys. So it was neat to see them kind of go through the stages of it and everything else like that. So it was cool. It was fun the whole time, but I was definitely ready to fight.
I know in talking to your teammates there, they all have their own individual stories about James and what he is as a coach and what they mean to him. For you, how has James, what has he done to elevate your abilities? And is it as much mental as it is physical?
One of the main things is, and this is the thing, is like I can't sit here, and I haven't been with him as long as those other guys have. So for what the little time I did have, but I'm going to go down there. That's where all my camps are going to be at now. So I'm going to go back down there for all my camps from now on. I'm not going back to California. So I'm going to stay down there and make it home. And, but for what little time we had is just the whole compartmentalizing, I guess, is like knowing what I'm going to do, the whole game plan. I'm sitting there after, after practice, just sitting there, and he's sending me these notes, sending like literally in a text message, note videos to watch about this. There's questions I asked that day. So it wasn't just like he answered that question during that day or that role. He was showing, he was taking extra time, and he was really showing that he cared, you know, not necessarily so much that he cared, that he was wanting me to win and taking the time to study my opponent and things like that. Just, I mean, I didn't ask him to do any of that. He did it on his own. And he was sitting there messaging me in between practices, you know, we're going to do this. This is what we should do here. And so it was really, really neat to see someone like that involved in it. And I mean, honestly, I've never really been a big game planner. And that's why I feel like I wanted to change up and make sure to study my opponent more and study things of that nature. And, just be being tough is always easy part, right? I mean, it's the studying and being smart about the fight. And I think that's the main thing with James is he's figured it all out. Not necessarily, hey, let's be tough. Let's be good at technical. And like you said, the mental part, I feel like is a lot of it. And just being mentally prepared is one thing that he's really is good at. And it's just compartmentalizing each step, you know, what we're going to do in the fight to what we need to do, the overall picture. And there's so many things to go to think about. And he just kind of breaks it down for you. So yeah, for the mental game, extremely well. But as far as technique, and that's the awesome thing about James is, man, he was teaching me techniques the night of the fight. We were sitting there, he made me look up in the corner and was showing me the upward elbow. And, you know, it's nothing that we worked on or we had called for, but he was saying he had the knowledge and just the smarts to think. So it's a fight at the end of the day. Hey, look at me real quick. And I looked at him and he showed me an elbow and I landed it. And I mean, it's so funny. It cracks me up. It's like, man, this guy was coaching me even the night of the fight, teaching me things. So, I mean, I'm excited about what's going to happen in the future for damn sure.
Do you got a timetable of when you hope your next fight is?
That's the thing is, like, I guess you got to talk to my manager and everything, see what they think, you know? I mean, if being proactive is always a good thing. If I can rack off a couple wins real quick, like, then I guess I'm down. It's not a big deal. At first, I was kind of skeptical, like, man, I want to sit here. Because these camps cost a lot of money, man. Mm-hmm. Sit here and take off work and do all that. Like, I'm sitting here, just fixed my truck this morning and looked at a couple jobs. It's not like I got time to celebrate or anything like that. That little bit of cash I made, I got to get back to work and start building houses again. So, I mean, the camps are what's expensive and just it's going to make financial sense. I mean, if I can save up a little money here and if I can get some sponsors or whatnot, then that'd be a big plus. But just trying to invest my money into everything I got into myself again is tough. So it's just a tough balancing act, but everybody does it. So it's a tough one we have to find.
You mentioned about building houses. How did you get involved in that?
I've been doing construction for over, I'd say, close to 8 years or so off and on. Uh-huh. And I've always been blessed that when I previous MMA fights, I would just take off for camps and go out to California. My boss would just let me have a job when I come back. And I was always blessed with that idea and was able to work and fight. And then when I got the UFC, I took the year off and just tried to take the whole fight thing. I was able to afford it by that point in time. So that made it simple, making good money in the UFC and these local shows. Then, I mean, you got to pay your dues, I guess. So I'm paying my dues, man. I'm tired of paying my dues.
Of course, we look forward to seeing when that next fight is going to take place, Chance. I appreciate the time. Of course, let me know if you can find on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
No, man, just follow me on my Instagram, BlackEagle_170. That's how I do most of my fight updates and things of that nature for sure. And instead, just follow me, and hopefully we'll see me in a big show soon.
And that was my conversation with Chance Rencounter. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his win there at FAC8 over Cliff Wright with just 2 seconds remaining in the first round. If you did not catch that fight is available on UFC Fight Pass. Coming up next, you'll hear my conversation with Jeff Peterson, who is going to be taking on Preston Parsons coming up here at Combat Night on June the 5th in Jacksonville, Florida. Spoke to him about what has been going on with him since his last match. Up in his fight here coming to the beginning of the month at Combat Night. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be a part of Combat Night here in my home state of Florida. This will be up in Jacksonville, June the 5th. Jeff, appreciate the time, man. Obviously, it's been some time.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
It's been some time, you know, since you've had a chance to step inside competition. And I've asked this question to several fighters is, what have you missed the most about Fight Night?
It's the energy. It's the atmosphere, the being in that back room with all the fighters, being at the weigh-ins, all the events. It's just the atmosphere, the vibe, the angst, just all the feelings that come with a fight night, man. I miss it all. It's unlike anything else in the world. I'm really excited to get back in there and do it myself.
I've asked fighters this question because, you know, for obviously, you know, 98% of the people that are watching you fight, they've never been in your position of the guy stepping into a cage and describing that moment of like kind of that feeling. Is there a way you can describe kind of what goes through your mind?
Everyone is a little bit different, you know, because it's a crazy feeling to have that when you know you're going into combat, you know, you're putting yourself right in the fire. You know, you're going to come out the other end of that fight. You're going to be a different person. A lot of fighters will tell you you're a different person after every single fight when you're, mm-hmm. you're in that living second to second, moment to moment. Before those big moments, I have affirmations that I tell myself. You know, just little things like that I'll repeat throughout my camp in my head that just get me locked in. They get me ready to perform. But man, my heart rate's jacked. Your mind's going a million miles an hour. It's crazy amounts of anticipation and anxiety, but it's a crazy experience. And, man, I live for it.
Do you believe this sport is as much mental as it is physical?
Man, that's a battle we could go back and forth on all day, you know, because you can put in a lot. Man, it's hard to say. So we put in the physical preparation. It always seems to be first. You know, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to run extra. I'm going to do all this extra things physically once you're starting to prepare for a fight. And then you physically get in the cage and you combat somebody. It's the mental side you have to also put in time with. You know, you say, I'm going to do 20 minutes boxing. I'm going to do a half an hour of cardio. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You also got to fix into your regimen. I'm going to visualize. I'm going to read a book that will increase my mental strength. I'm going to, you know, just it's got to be another part of your regimen to strengthen your mind.
It makes me kind of think about that mental side of the sport of how much of that of your mentality comes from your time serving in the Marines.
The Marine Corps definitely makes you disciplined. That's mm-hmm. for sure. If there's one word that can come from the Marine Corps, it's discipline. It's bearing. It's maintaining a certain level under large amounts of pressure. Mm-hmm. Those are all things that came with the Marine Corps that definitely I still carry with me today. So I appreciate all my drill instructors that you know got in my face and screamed at me, and it made me a better person.
You mentioned about pressure. Do you feel pressure once that cage door locks?
It's hard to say. I wouldn't say so much I feel pressure. It's more I bring the pressure, mm-hmm. you know. I put the pressure on my opponent once that cage door closes. I lock in. I see my target and I want to take him out. And pressure is the name of the game. My best performances have came from the times that I've moved forward and kept my opponent's heel on the fence. And it's what I plan on doing June 5th.
You've had a lot of time to evaluate so many parts of your game. As for the fans there, whether they're going to be in attendance or are going to watch this fight in whatever form, what's the difference they're going to see in you this time out as opposed to we saw you there in Bellator in 2019?
Man, I've trained a lot, man. Since my last fight, that Bellator fight, it was the most devastating loss of my career. It was a huge moment for me. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't perform. I didn't show up that night. I had a lot of time to self-reflect and a lot of time to improve my weaknesses. It's cliche to say, but I really do feel like a completely different fighter going into this training camp than what I was before. All the best parts of my game have just been intensified. My cardio is better. My striking is better. My grappling is better. I'm ready to grind it out for three rounds, or I'm ready to smash this dude and put him away in the first round. You can expect energy. You can expect violence. You can expect pressure. I'm the same, but I'm different. Everything about me that was good before is enhanced. I'm ready to just destroy this guy.
You're coming into his hometown. Look at his topology. He's from Jacksonville Beach. He has fought all across the state of Florida here in the regional scene. Do you like that? Do you like coming in as the out-of-town guy?
Man, it's just become a part of my career. If you go through my record, you'll see I've bounced around state to state getting fights. I've always been that guy that I lock in. I say, you know what? I want to fight in June. And I'll be damned if I don't get a fight in June. I'm searching. I'm looking. I say, I'll fight that guy. I'll fight that guy. I'll raise my hand. I'm that guy that will fly in and whoop that ass on the hometown guy. It's nothing new to me. It's almost less pressure. I mean, let's be real. When you're the hometown guy and you got every single person you know is in that arena, like the person you see at the grocery store is there, you know what I mean? And their kids, like, it's a lot of pressure to be the hometown guy. And I've been on both ends of it. You know, I've been the hometown guy with my family there. And then I've been the out of towner, but I'll be rolling in there with my crew. I'm not going there alone. I got my three corner men, and I've got a lot of friends and family coming out of the woodworks. Some former Marines and current Marines still serving in the Florida area are all coming out. Like, you know, we might be a small crew, but we're coming in there to take over. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we're going to get it. It's going to be fun.
You know, when I was looking at your opponent, the thing that really stuck out to me, solid record, but also the strength of competition. This is not a fighter who, you know, was looking to build themselves up, what I would call as you were always the A side of the fight. He's got some notable names, you know, people that I recognize. When you got this fight, was that one of the first things you thought of? Like, okay, this is a guy who's always looking for tough competition.
I don't really like taking like patty cake fights. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't, at the stage I'm at in my career, I need notable wins. You know, it's not going to do me any good to beat somebody who's where I'm expected to win. I'm coming into this as the underdog, like I always am, going into this guy's hometown. He's younger than me. Maybe his record looks a little bit prettier. None of that stuff matters to me, though. He is a good opponent. Credit to him. That's why I'm fighting him. He's a guy that when I beat him, I'm gonna take all his hype, man. Everybody in his hometown, everyone around there is going to know who I am. I'm going to be the guy that beat the hometown guy. I've seen some press on him. I've saw some stuff about him going into, they were talking about him as a prospect for Contender Series. You know, I'm just going to go in and steal his hype.
As you think about the path of what you're looking to accomplish, what is the roadmap for you in 2021 in terms of what you're attempting to accomplish?
I'm trying to stay busy. I'm trying to stay busy right now. The goal, at least for me, for most fighters, I'm trying to get to another big organization again. I'm trying to get to Bellator, PFL, UFC, ONE FC. I'm trying to get to a bigger show and get a multi-fight deal, get a contract signed. That's something I haven't had in my career, and that would be a big thing for me to be able to get signed to a big show. So 2021. I just want to stay busy. I'm going to go in there, fight Preston Parsons. Hopefully I come out of there, I'm not banged up, and I can start to move on right to the next one. I'd like to get three fights this year if I can. And hopefully at that point, you know, I'll have some eyes on me. I'll have a win streak going again. From there, we'll, you know, only keep moving up.
I mean, obviously you're a vet of the sport. I mean, this is your 18th professional fight, but because of the time between fights, do you in a way feel like this is a reintroduction of yourself to those bigger organizations?
I guess, yeah, you could put it that way. You could put it that way. You know, this isn't a big show per se, but it's, you know, this show has been around the Florida area. There's a lot of eyes on them. Florida's a big MMA scene. There's going to be a lot of eyes on this show. And I think going out there and having a really good performance where I'm going to be the clear underdog is just going to boost me up. It's going to boost me up quickly. That's how the fight game works. You know, there's a winner, there's a loser, highest of highs, lowest of lows. There's a lot of eyes on him, a lot of hype on him. I'm going to go in there and I'm just going to take it. I'm going to take everything he's worked for and, you know, put the hype on my side. Jump on the train, y'all.
And of course, everyone's going to see us here on June the 5th, combat night there in Jacksonville, Florida. Jeff, as always, appreciate the time. Of course, let everyone know they can find you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Yes, you can find me on social media, my Facebook, Jeffrey Peterson. My Instagram, one word, Jeff the Administrator. I'd like to thank my sponsors. I have a lot of sponsors for this fight. A lot of people helped me out. First, I'd like to thank SunMed CBD. Great company, great for all your CBD needs. I'd like to thank Icon Realty. My boy, Joe Flo, thank you, sir. I'd like to thank 12P Nation, 12P Clothing. Awesome t-shirts, awesome products. Also, the Hampton Inn in Jacksonville, Florida will be housing me. Those guys rock. Big thank you. Shout out to Jesse. Thanks, man. Eastlake Chiropractic, Dr. Walker Scott, you're the man. James P. Rowe, Chris Ashby Designs, Rhino Power Sports, Clipper Crew Barbershop, best haircuts in San Diego, and everyone at Alliance East. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting me on this fight. You guys rock. Thanks for having me on this podcast. You're the man.
And that was my conversation with Jeff Peterson. Appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his matchup come here on June the 5th. And a lot of interesting things there from Jeff making his return to mixed martial arts competition. Now, the final interview you're going to hear is with Brett Martin. This will be the first time Brett steps into competition since his matchup's there in LFA. He was initially supposed to take on Chris Barnett. That, of course, not taking place here is now Chris now stepping up to take a short notice fight in the UFC. And now Brett Martin will now take on Marino Eatman. The interview was recorded when he was scheduled to take on Chris, so you're not going to hear him talk anything about Chris because I edited that out of the interview. You're not going to hear him obviously talk anything about Marino here, but here is my conversation with Brett Martin. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man we're going to see back inside competition here, XFC 44, May the 28th. Brett, man, as always, appreciate the time. It has been some time since we've seen you inside competition, man. So how do you describe the last year and a half?
I don't know. I don't want to say bad. You know what I mean? A few curveballs in the game on top of a few curveballs in, you know, actual competition with my last couple fights. So, you know what I mean? Just a bunch of unexpected, you know, so I don't want to say I haven't really been away from the game. You know what I mean? I've had a couple camps and still been training hard. I helped Jamal Hill with a few of his camps. You know, that's one of my main training partners. So, of course, we spend a lot of time together training regardless if we're in camp or out of camp. So, basically just 20 months or so, you know, from being in the cage, you know, not really from training or no injuries or nothing like that. You know, it's been a year and a half of putting a lot of work in. You know what I mean? So, like I said, like I'm just excited to get back at it.
You know, one of the terms that we hear from fighters, that I've at least heard from fighters, you know, when they talk about 2020, because for a lot of guys, they didn't get the opportunity to compete. They'll say, you know, evolution is the way they describe, you know, kind of what's been going on with them.
Most definitely. I can see it that way, for sure.
Like, as you think about where you were when we saw you in LFA to where you are now, what's the difference we're going to see from you here at the end of the month?
I think, like I said this on another interview the other day, man, just perspective. You know what I mean? This last year and a half, we've seen some DQs happen in the UFC. you know, where guys are getting hit with shots. And I feel like a couple of them wanted a way out of a fight. You know what I mean? If you look at the history of my fights and even when I've been hit with illegal shots, I've continued in both fights. And you know, the referee stopped it again after the first initial legal blow. So, I mean, if you really think about it, it just shows how tough I am. You know what I mean? How gritty I am, where my heart is. You know what I mean? And if we're talking about real fighters, you know what I mean? There's nothing more real than that. So, if you add that into the fact that I've been training with a guy who's ranked, you know, now top 15 in the world and mm-hmm. not just training with him, but watching him just annihilate people, you know what I mean? And put people away. You know what I mean, so obviously what we're doing in the gym together is working. So, I mean, you're just going to see a lot more confident, a lot more, I mean, just understanding, you know what I mean? You know, not letting it be more than what it really is. And I feel like a lot of times I let that happen to myself. You know what I mean? These people put these guys out to be these big, scary, you know, jacked heavyweights and with all mm-hmm. this punch power. But, I mean, at the end of the day, man, it's a contest. And I find ways to win regardless. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to keep doing me. And I think you're just going to see me be a lot more dominant. You know what I mean? Now that I've been in these situations, I've been in these fights. It's, you know, the only way I've ever moved is upward. So, you know, whether it's a year and a half off or, you know, whatever, regardless, you know what I mean, I'm ready to just get back to what I've been doing since I started fighting, you know, way back in 2015 or 2016, whatever it was.
You mentioned a moment ago about, you know, there's, you know, being under the bright lights. Has there ever been a moment where you felt like maybe it got to you a little bit, like the moment kind of sunk in a little too much?
I just say, you know what I mean? I think I just was too patient in a lot of my last couple fights. You know what I mean? Being a wrestler and coming from kind of a laid-back mentality, I feel like that's one thing I've learned from Jamal, you know what I mean, is that, you know, I can't come into these fights with just that laid-back mentality that first round. You know what I mean? I need to come out here and just put the spanking on these boys right away. You know what I mean? No more feel-out process BS. You know what I mean? I'm the better fighter, so I need to be that right away. You know what I mean? Don't even give these guys an opportunity to get comfortable. And I feel like, you know what I mean? I let somebody like you know, say to speak, the Daniel James fight. You know what I mean? It took me a couple rounds to get a really good takedown just because I was kind of playing his game a little bit. You know what I mean? Because I just didn't come out and get right to my game plan. So I think that's been the biggest thing I've understood is, you know, just get to my game plan, whether it's taking people down or, you know, doing something on my feet that I like to do. You know what I mean? It's just no more being patient and don't allow people to think they have a chance. You know what I mean? Go out there and handle business. You know what I mean? I'm a lot better than I've shown. And I feel like with these DQs happening, it sucks for me because it's like I feel I gave them an opportunity mm-hmm. even like, you know, and be in the same realm or even to make myself look worse than what I deserve. You know what I mean? So it just sucks that those situations happen. So that's, you know, what I took from that is just don't allow it to happen. That's the best thing I can come up with. You know what I mean?
How do you work on that? You talk about going for it, you know, not sitting back. How are you working on that inside the gym? Is that as much mental as it is physical?
I think it's all mental. Like I said, I've been competing all my life. You know what I mean? So I've always had this very laid back demeanor, or however you say that word. My mannerisms are very, very laid back. You know what I mean? I like to have fun. I'm always super nice. So, I mean, I think it's just finding that, not even just saying finding the dog or, you know, because I got a guy that on my Facebook page that keeps saying, oh, you got to find the dog. You know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, me finding a dog isn't me being a dirty fighter. You know what I mean? These guys I fought my last couple fights, I don't even want to say that Daniel James was dirty. But that Henan Fajeda, I think he just proved he seems pretty dirty after his last one this last week. So mm-hmm. Past that, you know what I mean, I just don't really care what happens in these fights. You know what I mean? I always just try to take the positive from it and make myself better from the situation. So that's all I can do.
Like, do you feel it's kind of like you just have to flip the switch when you step into the cage?
Yeah, and that's, you know, back when I used to wrestle, you know what I mean, that it took me till almost my senior year to really understand how to do that the right way and feel properly doing it. You know what I mean? So now I know that, and now I know how to do that. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what it is. It's just talking to yourself before the fight. You know what I mean? Mentally. Making sure, you know, hey, man, go in there and do what you do best. You know what I mean? Don't be worried about, you know what I mean, always got a big right hand, or, you know, he's always 6'9", or, you know what I mean, don't let what they're saying try to even affect what you know, your plans are. You know, F what the story is. Go in there and make your own story. So, and I feel like, I don't want to say it's all mental, but you know, I mean, I'm a pretty mentally strong guy. So, I just got to talk this into fruition. Like I've done a lot of fights in my career, and you know, I felt like maybe with it being LFA, I was, you know, going in there and maybe thinking too hard about trying to get these big wins instead of, you know, just fighting my fight. I don't know. I don't want to say that's what it was. You know what I mean? Cause like I said, after a 5-round fight, man, I don't really care how I win. You know what I mean? That's 25 minutes or almost 25 minutes I went with a guy that's got a lot of first round knockouts. You know what I mean? And he landed some big punches and I ate them. So, I don't even want to say it's just a switch. Maybe it's just, you know, that's what it was, and now we're here. You know what I mean? So, in my mind, I'm just going to keep being positive. That's, you know, that's all I've ever known.
And, of course, we'll be see you write that story here on May the 28th, XFC 44. As always, man, I appreciate the time. Of course, let me know anything, find on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, Brett Martin on Facebook. Instagram is at BigDog285. And, you know, shout out to all my people, my family, my training partner, and, you know, my training partners, I should say. And, yeah, thanks for having me. And, you know, be ready May 28th. I'm ready to go.
And that was my conversation with Brett Martin. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about what has been going on with him since the last time we saw him there in competition in LFA. Definitely a guy to pay attention to in terms of the heavyweight regional scene. Maybe he gets that UFC offer at some point. Maybe it's Bellator. Maybe it's PFL. But definitely someone to keep an eye for. Of course, I do want to thank Carter Hallbutt, Chance Reencounter, Jeff Bearson, and Brett Martin all coming on this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, last night was UFC 262. Charles Oliveira, man, what a comeback in that matchup after it really looked Michael Chandler came very close to getting the stoppage victory there in the first round. I mean, Michael did have to weather some adversity there by defending the submission attempts very early on in that fight. But, man, that first round ends, you just kind of feel like the end is going to come and Michael Chandler is going to become the UFC lightweight champion. However, that was not the case. It's just right there, beginning of the second round, just a beautifully timed, you know, pinpoint accuracy there by Charles Oliveira. Congratulations to him in winning the lightweight title. And then, of course, Beneil Dariush, even though I know the fans there in Houston didn't like it, got the win over Tony Ferguson. And, you know, one of the things is, and look, I'm guilty of this one, of I just thought that Tony Ferguson was the guy to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov, and I'm wrong. I have no problem admitting that I am wrong, but after what we have seen with Charles Oliveira and Beneil Dariush has done to Tony Ferguson, I'm sorry, even if you're the biggest Tony fan, Khabib Nurmagomedov would have smashed Tony Ferguson. I mean, I think that's the one thing we can take away. And look, and I do wonder whether or not this is the final time that we see Tony Ferguson in the UFC cage. Now, maybe that fan reaction will kind of let the UFC say, maybe we need to give Tony another fight. But at his age, you know, three straight losses now, you kind of wonder if the best days are behind him. And of course, you know, we saw what happened with Jacare Souza, you know, breaking his arm. I know I did see the tweets from Ariel Helwani this morning, successful surgery there. UFC doing everything they can to help out Jacare Souza. But at 41 years old, you really kind of wonder what the future does hold for him. You know, we had some questionable scorecards last night. That was one of the things last night. The scorecards, you know, that we did see in that, you know, the Kalen Chookagian fight. I don't know what fight the one judge was watching that scored that 3-0 for Kalen Chookagian. That was kind of a baffling one. Another baffling one was the judge who scored it 30-27 for Mike Grundy against Lando Venata. I don't know how you saw that one 30-27, but overall a good night of fights. You know, Chris Oshiagos, Sean Soriano looked great in that opening round. And then, of course, you know, Chris Oshiagos gets to the ground and ultimately gets to that choke there in the second round. You know, we did have some upsets on the card. Priscilla Cachoeira as an underdog defeats Gina Mazzani. Andrea Lee as an underdog gets Antonia Shevchenko. She gets a submission win. Great win there. Jordan Wright looked great in the matchup. He had in the first round finish there in 64 seconds. against Jamie Wright. Mentioned about Jacare Luz and Andre Muniz. Definitely a guy that we got to pay attention to there in the middleweight division. Of course, Edson Barboza looking great. And, you know, look, I don't know if the UFC would go this route, but just like from a pure stylistic aspect, if you told me that the UFC books Max Holloway versus Edson Barboza, I'm down for that. I just think just as a fight fan, that's a fight that I would love to see. But overall, I thought it was a good night of fights. I enjoyed the fight card, you know, from what I saw there. I mean, and it's really going to be interesting to kind of see how this lightweight division does play out over the next couple of months. You know, we're going to have to see what happens with Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor. Of course, Justin Gaethje is sitting out there as well. I truly believe that no matter what happens on July the 10th, the winner of that fight will be the guy that will get Charles Oliveira. I do not think it's going to be Justin Gaethje. So I don't know what they do with Justin Gaethje. Listening to Michael Chandler after that fight, clearly he wants to get back inside there. And last night, I think, was probably the best chance for Michael Chandler to become the UFC lightweight champion. You know, and I know he thinks he can get there in a year, but I think for him to do that, a lot of things are going to have to fall his way, and likely going to have to rack up a couple of wins there. Of course, on Wednesday, myself and Daniel will talk a little bit more about that. Also on Wednesday, we will preview Bellator 259, which will be on Friday night for the Mohegan Sun. Of course, headlined by the rematch between Chris Cyborg and Leslie Smith. Of course, they fought in the UFC. Looking at this fight card, there are some names and some fights that I am intrigued by. Darren Caldwell back at 135 pounds, taking on Leandro Higo. Fabian Edwards, Austin Vanderfort at 185 pounds. That is another matchup that does intrigue me. You got some light heavyweight prospects on this card that you need to pay attention to. Christian Edwards, he's going to be taking on Ben Parrish. Grant Neal taking on Tyree Fortune. That is definitely a match you want to pay attention to. Also, Nate Andrews making his Bellator debut, taking on Saeed Awad. My guy, Pete Rogers Jr., actually will be in that Bellator bubble as he is one of Nate's coaches, helping him prepare him for this matchup. Devon Franklin, a 2-0 heavyweight, is another guy to pay attention to there. Also, the lightweight matchup of Alfie Davis kicking off the card is something to pay attention to. Brett Johns does have a fight on this card. He's going to take in on Danny Sabatello, as that one just kind of came down here over the last couple of days. So overall, a nice little fight card that we do have coming up here on Friday night. Of course, that is Bellator 259. Of course, also coming up this weekend, we'll have the UFC Fight Night card, which is going to be headlined by Rob Font and Cody Garbrandt. Rob Font, a slight betting favorite in that one. Should be a good one between those two men there at 135 pounds. A big matchup in the women's 115-pound division. Azan Yanan taking on Carla Esparza. But, of course, Edmund Shahbazyan, Jack Hermanson, Bill Algeo, Ricardo Lamas, that's one that definitely does stick out to me as well. But, in terms of that, the reason to watch that UFC card on Saturday, to me, is no question, is that main event of Cody Garbrandt and Rob Font. And what does Cody Garbrandt look like? That's really a big question. But that is going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, next episode will come out on Wednesday morning as myself and Daniel will take a deeper dive into what happened on Saturday or last night at UFC 262. Also, we will take a look ahead to Bellator 259 and UFC Fight Night, Garbrandt versus Font. So as always, appreciate everyone taking time out of their day to listen to the show. Of course, be sure to give me a follow on Twitter at Jason_Floyd. And a great way to show your support for the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and review. That really does help out a lot as well. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast, which comes out 2 times a week on Sundays and on Wednesday on your favorite podcasting platform and radioinfluence.com.